Well, the Men's Summit 23 is being held on Saturday, the 20th of May. It's being organised by Us at Momentum and also Christian Voice Australia. And the event is for dads, husbands and sons and features special international speaker from the US, David Dusek from Rough Cut Men's Ministries. Other speakers are going to be talking about sport and men, education and boys, and there'll be a special survey release on secret men's business too. We're urging all men to attend this unique men's event. If you'd like more details from Christian Voice Australia, check out christianvoiceaustralia.blog. Or, of course, you can visit the Momentum website for more information. That's momentumaustralia.org.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
My goal is to help churches connect men and then take the onus of connecting off of the church so they don't have to burn pancakes and sausages every Saturday to get guys together. The guys themselves will inherently want to be together because they've had some vibrant, engaging conversations with guys who are just as bad off as they are in life, and they know that they need somebody else. And it really opens the door to connection.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Dez.
All right, well, welcome to this week's Momentum All Around Australia. Hey, we're just so grateful that you've chosen to join us this week. Really, really appreciate this. And hey, you know, Des and I just love doing this. We love having you here, so I really appreciate you tuning in. Quick point to the website for a moment, momentumaustralia.org. That is our website. Check that out after the show. Have a look around and find out a bit more about who we are. Essentially, we're here to help you do life that little bit better. And Des, we love this, don't we, mate? It's awesome doing this show.
Yeah, we do. What a great joy it is to do this. And, you know, and guys, don't forget, we've got the Momentum Care Line, which is 1-800-000-636 or 1-800-000-MEN. Very easy number to remember. And that's brought to us by Caroline Connections. And you can reach out to them as well. But the help desk is available 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., which is amazing.
Look, you know, the truth is, though, that we all go through sticky seasons. And that number that Des just gave you for the Care Line, if you need someone to chat to, pick up the phone and call to someone. Don't do life on your own. That's why we exist at Momentum, to try and get you connected. And you know what? If you want to reach out to us as well, we can try and put you in touch with someone perhaps local for you as well. MomentumAustralia.org. Feel free to reach out. You know, when Des and I started Momentum a couple of years ago, we had no idea what would happen. We had no idea where this was going to go. We just knew from our own experiences, what we saw in certain circles, should we say, that men just needed help. And so out of that, we have a real heart and desire to do something about that, which is how Momentum first came to be.
Yes, true. And, you know, it's amazing that we're now starting our third year. Such a blessing, you know, to be able to do this ministry. And over the last few years, we've spoken to some amazing different people in the show. A few weeks ago, we were approached by this guy out of the blue, and he's an American. And we would like to welcome David Dusek.
Hey, guys.
So David is based in Florida in the U.S. And heads up a men's ministry called Rough Cut Men. Amazing name. And I'll surely explain where that comes from. It turns out he has a massive heart to help men on their journey. So we thought we'd get him on the show. David, again, welcome.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, David, it is great to have you on board, man. Before we launch into a bit more about you, I thought it'd be really interesting to tell our listeners about the story of how we connected and how you came to reach out to Momentum last year. Because I just love what is happening in this space. And hopefully this will be an encouragement to the guys listening about what is happening behind the scenes here.
It was a little wild. I was in Warwick doing a men's event, which is about two and a half hours west of Brisbane at the end of November. And several men came up to me and said, you know, nobody ever pays attention to us out here. And it really put on my heart, you know, we need to do more for the underreached, underserved, outlying areas of Australia to engage men in biblical manhood with resources and everything else. So I went back to the hotel in Sydney and told my wife that this had happened. I Googled Men's Ministries Australia, and I came up with almost nothing. But the first thing that popped up was the Catholic website. And the next thing was Momentum. I hit your website. I found out who it was that was running it. And there's only one Des that I could find anywhere on the planet in Australia. I'm like, okay. So I friended you guys on Facebook. We made a connection. We've Zoomed a few times since then, but it was a hot pursuit of God giving me the direction and basically running you down on cyberspace.
Yeah.
So just quickly for the people listening, you were in Brisbane or just outside of Brisbane. They're going, okay, well, he's in America. What's he already doing over here? So tell us a bit about that story.
My son just graduated with a master's in theological studies from Hillsong College in Sydney. So we had come over to watch him graduate. And while I was here, I let people know, hey, I'm going to be in the country. If you would like me to speak at a men's conference, I'd be happy to do that. And the guys in Warwick actually set one up the weekend before graduation. So we came a little early and I went up and did the event. So we were there to celebrate a graduation and got the opportunity to go back to Warwick. It was my second time with those guys.
David, tell us a bit about your heart. We'll come back to your heart generically, but now your heart for Australian men, because I know that that's been stirred since then. So for the guys listening right now, tell us a bit about that. What's happening for you?
Well, that was my 15th trip to Australia or New Zealand, mostly Australia, since 2015. So in the last 8 years, I've been in your country for extended periods of time in some cases, sometimes a month or a month and a half at a time with men in the church, speaking at different men's conferences all over, from literally from Townsville all the way to Melbourne and all points in between down the East Coast. And one thing I discovered is that regardless of where we live, men are men. These guys are coming up to me telling me that they're dealing with the exact same issues. We may sound different, but we're dealing with the same marriage, money, prodigal children, all the things that come in from the periphery that affect our forward momentum as men, whether we're Australian or whether we're American or South African. I mean, honestly, everybody, guys are just, the enemy has picked on men long enough, and worldwide, the plague is kind of the same. It just might be packaged differently, but that's what really gave me my heart. And the fact that, frankly, it was very undersourced. In the United States, we have lots of different men's resources. In Australia, obviously, I Googled it and didn't find much. And I thought, you know, this is where God is calling us to be.
That's good. And it's great where you are. Tell us a little bit about your backstory, about how your life journey got you to this point.
Well, that could be a long story. I was, I'm a Florida native. I'm one of the only guys you'll ever meet that's over the age of 50 that's actually from the state of Florida. Everybody moves here to play golf and retire and die, not necessarily in that order. I moved to Oregon on the west coast of the United States when I was 12 years old and didn't want to be there at all. So when I had the opportunity to move back home to Florida, I did. My mother and father still live on the other coast of the country, as does my sister and her family. I am divorced and remarried, and I met the Lord when I lost everything. That really began my journey of faith, is you don't know how much you need Jesus until he's all you've got. And that's really where I found myself on a very particular day, with no home, no family, just my car and the bag that I had thrown in the back. I have five kids that range from, I've got 30, 29, 28, 27, and 25. They're all over the United States. I've got one in Chicago, one in Greenville, South Carolina. They're everywhere. They just kind of scattered. And I have two grandkids as well. And I am a ridiculous college football fan. That's the only sport I root for in the States. I do watch NRL because I'm a North Queensland Cowboys fan. So shout out to them.
That's great. The only posts I notice that you make on Facebook are about your football team.
and I'm also, you know, when it's time for Origin, go the Maroons. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, right. We won't open that can right now.
I'll not mention the fact that I live in New South Wales.
Sorry.
Yeah. David, let's scoot back a little bit, because for the guys listening, I mean, Des and I have shared our stories a few times on Momentum, but let's hear more about your story. You talked about, divorce and ending up in a car. Just flesh that out for us, and then, of course, how that led you to faith, because that's a significant step in the story of then how you came to set up Rough Cut, the men's ministry that you do. So let's just backtrack a few steps and tell us a bit about your story.
I failed at marriage. I got married young. I got married for the wrong reasons. I was in a bar with everybody else, and everyone was asking the girl they were with to marry them. And all of a sudden I'm married and I have two kids. It melted down, and she moved back to the Pacific Northwest in the upper left-hand corner of the United States, where I met her. And that left me with no home. And again, like I said, I was at the top of a bridge called the Sunshine Skyway, which is, a few hundred meters off of Tampa Bay, and about every 50 meters or so across the top of that bridge are crisis intervention phones, because it, since 1986, when they built it, it has at least once a week, they find an abandoned vehicle and someone jumps over the wall. And as I was driving over that bridge, not because I was a jumper, but more because it was pretty much the highest point I could think of in the state of Florida, because Florida is completely flat. I said, Lord, if you're there, this would be an excellent time to show up because I've got nothing. And every hair on my arm stood up. I drove down the other side of the bridge, a new creation in Christ. I didn't have someone lead me to the Lord at the altar. It was just all of those years of other people saying, David, you need Jesus, man. And I'm like, Jesus who? I don't have time for that right now. But all the people that had sowed into me. So I promise you, gentlemen, don't ever think that the fruit won't come. Sometimes the seed takes 30 years to grow into a tree, but it will grow. Just never stop planting those seeds because people did it in Christian youth organizations to me. And it came to a head right there on the top of that bridge. And so I drove down the other side of that bridge, a new creation in Christ. I was baptized in the Gulf of Mexico, literally the following weekend. And within a couple of years, I was remarried and in ministry full time. So it was a very, that is my road to, that bridge is my road to Damascus. And the great thing about it is every time I travel, I have to drive over that bridge to get to the airport. So it's a constant reminder when I'm going to do ministry that, you know, you see, this is when you were going this way, I saved you, and now you're going that way to reach other people. It's an amazing bridge. Yeah. It's just it's my spot.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, I have a parallel story in a way that, you know, I gave my life to the Lord at the side of the Stuart Highway. So for listeners who know what the Stuart Highway is, it runs from Darwin right down to Adelaide. And so just south of Catherine, I pulled over in Hillaba and gave my life to the Lord. So a similar sort of story. And it does change your life when you have that experience of God.
Absolutely.
So, David, you set up Rough Cut in 2004. I'm assuming then at this stage you'd been in some degree of ministry prior to that, or what was the catalyst?
2004, I went to work for an organization called Man in the Mirror, based in Orlando, which is about 2 hours away from my house. And I was doing mostly Florida-based leadership training. I was training pastors and men's leaders on the elements of sustainable ministry to men. And while I was doing that, I was doing a training in Panama City, which is in the panhandle of Florida. You know, we're shaped like an L and it's up at the top. And some guys from a city in Alabama, which was close by, asked me if I would speak at their two-day men's retreat. Now, I was paralyzed at this point because I was a four-hour leadership trainer reading off the script. I had no idea what I would talk about for an entire weekend. So I had a seven-hour drive home to panic. And when I got home, I said to my wife, Joni, I said, you know, these guys asked me to speak at this weekend and they said the word honorarium and we were new to ministry and it was a job, so to speak. So I'm like, okay, we're going to get paid for this. And she said, well, why don't you, you know, you've written down all these movies that you think would resonate with men. So why don't you just figure out how to put those together and then go do the event using that. And that's exactly what I did, guys. I went to Blockbuster Video back when we used to be able to rent DVDs. I rented all the movies that I needed. And I went to a buddy's house who was a TV producer. And we cut out the pieces that we needed, sanitized them for language, put them on a master DVD. And off I went to Dothan, Alabama to do this event with no notes. And I literally made up everything all the way through. And that was actually in 2007 when we finally did our first ever Rough Cut Men movie experience.
Wow, that's huge. So tell us a bit more about that. How did the people react and, you know, how did they respond to your movie event?
One of the things that had drawn the man to me to ask me to speak at their retreat in the first place was my level of transparency. I'm very real about what I've been through, what I've done. I own what I've done. I've got a marriage and a divorce behind me. I've got a prodigal son who attempted suicide at one point. I've lived pretty much every man I run across. I've got at least a snapshot of whatever it is they're experiencing. I can say without hesitation, I know what that's like because for the most part, I've been through that. My ex-wife died back in 2009. So I've had to walk my children through a divorce and then again through the loss of their mom at a very young age. Action movies, using them as parables, just resonate with men because we're really visual. I mean, we're on video right now and it would be a lot more difficult to have an interview with you if I couldn't see you. And so we're very visual about stuff like that. And I address issues in the Rough Cut Men movie experience that all of us face: friendlessness, isolation, a lack of accountability, a lack of encouragement, marriage, fatherhood, soul wounds, and legacy at the end of it. And some relational reconciliation in there as well. But I use little clips. And really, we have a laser-focused mission. Anything we do at the ministry, whether it's books or video series or any of that, the goal is laser-focused, and that is to connect men together in the fight against this enemy. The Bible says in John 10, verse 10, wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Well, this is Momentum all around Australia, and our special guest this week is David Dusek from Rough Cut Men's Ministries in America. David's going to be in Australia in May, speaking at a variety of churches and also speaking at the Christian Voice Australia Men's Conference. If you'd like some details about that, or perhaps to find a church where David's going to be speaking at while he's here in Australia that might be close to you, check out roughcutmen.org. That's the website, roughcutmen.org. And actually, while you're online, and we take a short break from this week's show, check out the Momentum Australia website for a bunch of great resources. That's momentumaustralia.org. And we're going to be back with David Dusek for part two of this week's Momentum. Stay tuned.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at momentumaustralia.org.
Well, the Men's Summit 23 is being held on Saturday, the 20th of May. It's being organised by us at Momentum and also Christian Voice Australia. And the event is for dads, husbands and sons, and features special international speaker from the US, David Dusek from Rough Cut Men's Ministries. Other speakers are going to be talking about sport and men, education and boys, and there'll be a special survey release on secret men's business too. We're urging all men to attend this unique men's event. If you'd like more details from Christian Voice Australia, check out christianvoiceaustralia.blog. Or, of course, you can visit the Momentum website for more information. That's momentumaustralia.org. Well, welcome back to this week's show. It is Tim and Des and Momentum all around Australia, wherever you are right now. Really, really appreciate you tuning in, and hopefully you've enjoyed the first part of the show with our special guest, David Dusek from Rough Cut Men. As I mentioned just before the break, David's going to be speaking in Australia in May at a number of churches and at the Christian Voice Australia Men's Conference on Saturday, the 20th of May as well. If you'd like some more details about any of that, where he's going to be, the conference, etc., you can find details online at roughcutmen.org. That's roughcutmen.org. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that you've seen over the years just how men around the world are all struggling with similar sorts of things, you know, because we're just wired as men. It doesn't matter what corner of the world we come in or what our background is and what culture we're in. We still wrestle with the same stuff. Your Rough Cut movie experience, which you launched in 2007, which we started talking about, uses kind of movie clips to reach guys. And we talked about the fact that the visual side is good for guys because we're visually wired. But I suppose tell us about some of the key themes from the movie snippets that you have. What are the key themes that you address in that? And what's the response from men when you do that?
Well, I do things progressively. So you can't expect a man to dive into the deep end of the swimming pool, you know, the first time he ever dips his toe in the water. That would be excessive. And a lot of times the experiences are men who've never been to a men's conference at all, or have been to a men's conference. It was what I call a kind of a mountaintop God high. And then they get back to the real world and everything falls apart again. They've been given a really good rah-rah speech, kind of like going to a cricket game or a football game. And at the end of the day, when they come home, I remember going to Promise Keepers and saying, I'm going to be the best husband you've ever seen. And by Wednesday, life got me, kicked me in the head. And I was right back to the same old guy that I was before, because there was no connection. So I hit things. I address isolation, friendlessness, and the three needs every man has, which are support, encouragement, and accountability. We all need those things to some degree or another. And because I've worked with the U.S. Army all over the world in every country that we are, and I've also worked with the New Zealand Defense Force as well, I've got a military background that I bring into this thing as well, because that really helps with the understanding of, first, that every man has a desire to fight for something bigger than himself, and you never fight alone. And those are kind of the key themes that come out of the first, but the questions are somewhat innocuous at that point. Like, hey, you know, where are you in your church world? You know, are you a CEO, you know, are you a CEO, a Christmas and Easter only kind of guy? When was the last time you went to church at all? Are you plugged into a small group? Do you serve? And I encourage guys to take the right next step wherever they happen to be in their journey with Jesus. Obviously, the first step would be to accept him as Lord and Savior. Yeah, if they haven't Mentimeter.net, which of course I provide that opportunity as well. There are table discussions after each 40-minute session where I drop kind of a, I roll a hand grenade into the middle of the room, but I put a single question out there for the guys to talk about. The reason it's only one question is if you're in a room full of guys or at a table of four men, there's invariably going to be one guy that won't talk. And there's two guys that are kind of middle of the road and one guy that will never shut up. And so trying to guide them and facilitate them through this process intentionally. So by the time we get into the introspective stuff, which will be the second half of the event where we're dealing with father wounding, the words that our dad said that somehow became our truth source, even though it's contradictory to what the Word of God says, we have walked through life thinking I'm not good enough, fast enough, smart enough, whatever they said. And we deal with that by replacing that lie with the Word of God, which is the truth with a capital T. And then we go into legacy. What kind of footprints are we leaving for the people behind us, regardless of who came before us? What are we doing now? And then the last thing that I always cover is relational reconciliation, because if any of the listeners right now are over the age of five, we have a relationship that's busted. It could be the wife that we share the bed with even. And I give guys a homework assignment at the end to go make that right, because we don't know when the Lord's going to bring us home. So it hits a whole lot of fronts. It hits them very fast. It's so much fun for me to do. I just love being with men of God. It's just I just enjoy it. It's the best time I have in any given month is when I'm in front of a group of guys.
That's just a good thing about men's ministry, isn't it? It gives us, really gives us an opportunity to break ice and to, you know, do life well. We had a conversation a few weeks ago about, you know, your real self versus your false self. And what so many men have is they focus totally on their false self. You know, all the things that they've built around themselves to create an image, and it's not who they really are.
No, you're absolutely right, Des.
David, you've done lots and lots of events and spoken to thousands of guys around the world. It must be really interesting for you when you see the guys filter into the room on the first day before the first session, and there's that air in the room. We all know what that's like. There's that tension. It's like, I'm not sure what I'm going to get in for. I don't know these guys. And don't you find that when we get into a room as guys, we look around and we kind of size ourselves up against other guys in the room. Oh, he looks like he's got his stuff together. Da, da, da. That's blown me away every single time, because, you know, you get past all of the surface stuff and then you realize that everybody in the room has something that they're doing. Every guy in the room is putting on a front to some degree, right? It's a train wreck, right? And we're covering up to some degree. Tell me about some of the biggest stumbling blocks that you witness with the guys, because obviously, you know, when we're in a room like that, we tend to put a front up and we don't necessarily want to get honest and those sorts of things. But for the guys listening right now who stay away from men's events for that reason, some of the biggest stumbling blocks that you've seen and some of the ways then, I suppose, that you break that down and then the guys at the end come out completely different from the guys that first walked in the room.
Well, to your point too, I've actually spoken to over 1 million men since we started the ministry. Wow. And I mean, that's a lot of guys. And I've actually know quantifiably that there are at least 1,700 small groups in the United States that were launched as a result of going through the event that are still meeting. In some cases, 10, 11 years, I've had guys come up to me and say, hey, you were here 10 years ago. And I'm still meeting with the same six guys, you know, and that to me is like,
that's awesome.
Why I do what I do. Yeah. I think isolation is kind of the linchpin to everything, right? I mean, if isolation leads to addiction, whether it's pornography or alcohol or drugs, or whatever your escape mechanism might be. And honestly, in the military, a soldier never fights by himself. But I think the biggest stumbling block for a lot of guys is, first, we have dozens of acquaintances and most of us have no real friends. Yeah. We forgot how to do that right about grade four. We don't play on the playground anymore. And just, you know, playing on the playground in elementary school, you just didn't have any qualifications. If a kid came up and said, hey, can I play? You didn't ask them what they did for a living or what kind of car they drove. You just
play.
Let them play.
Yeah, just play.
And, and I think deep down inside, every one of us, myself included, guys, we feel like we're the only one struggling with whatever we're struggling with. We feel like, you know, if these guys really knew what I was dealing with, they wouldn't even want me here. There have been moments where I've had a microphone in my hand saying, you know, if these guys could read my mind right now, they would take me in the parking lot and stone me instead of actually having me speak to them, because it's just life. We're all dealing with things, and there's a hesitation because a lot of guys have been burned by somebody else.
Yeah. Mm.
That's why that air, when they come in, they've been to the mountaintop God high experience. They've been let down. They've been burned by another person. A lot of times it's a church person. So they throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to have anything to do with anything churchy because these guys are all fake. Mm. And that's what kept me out of the church for 34 years is you give up all your rights and you're no fun. That was my description of every Christian man I'd ever met. So I think, you know, we're running up against a perception that really isn't the reality. And the way that I break that is I'm wildly transparent in front of a group of guys. Mm. I am not hesitant at all to talk about what I've been through, because I believe that transparency in and of itself will in turn breed transparency. If I'm real with a microphone in front of 5,000 people, I'm giving those guys permission to say, you know, if he's that bad, but Jesus,
and he's the guest speaker,
it must be okay for me to be bad. And what that does is it sets the table for the guys at the tables to really say, hey man, that dude up on the platform is reading my mail. It's like he's living in my house and he knows exactly what I'm in the middle of. And it basically breaks that ice to the point where they can be real with each other. And this is a starting mechanism, not a mountaintop God high. Mm-hmm. My goal is to help churches connect men and then take the onus of connecting off of the church so they don't have to burn pancakes and sausages every Saturday to get guys together. They can put it back. The guys themselves will inherently want to be together because they've had some vibrant, engaging conversations with guys who are just as bad off as they are in life, and they know that they need somebody else, and it really opens the door to connection.
We often say that, you know, men relating to men is so very, very important, and we say, you know, much better find those people that you can trust and be open and honest with right up front before your life goes pear-shaped, because you'll find it difficult to get them after your life goes pear-shaped, or you may not be in a position to find them when your life goes pear-shaped. So any guy who's listening now, find your confidant, your friend, your mentor, you know, your pastor, whoever you decide is the person that you can trust. Seek out that person now and build the relationship. Open, honest, be clear, just warts and all, let it all out there. And it just works wonders.
Well, I mean, I just want to say, and obviously I'm not going to name names, but I've spoken in a fair few churches over the years, and there seems to be in a lot of men's groups, there is that whole tension when you walk in. Mm. And even for me as the guest speaker, I felt that and gone, wow, these guys clearly don't talk to each other. Yeah. You can feel that when you walk into the room. And there's a lot of facade, there's a lot of, you know, surface conversations. And much like you, David, I try and be as transparent and honest as possible to try and break down some of those barriers for the guys. But, you know, you can see that some of them aren't ready for this. Some of them, this is a real struggle. Some of them, occasionally one or two will get it, and they've been hanging out for this. They've been looking for this for a long time. I suppose if there's a question in there, it's the encouragement to guys, particularly here in Australia. And I don't know if that's a cultural thing or not. I'm not sure, but it seems that it's really difficult to try and break down some of those barriers. And aside from Des and I saying each week, get connected, find someone to talk to. I mean, it's got to be an intentional thing. And I suppose for the guys, they've got to see the value on the other side of doing that. Well, why would I want to put myself out there? Why would I want to expose myself to another guy? But I mean, we've lived the value because we've known what it's like before that for us three on this call. How do we sort of get that message across to the guys listening now to go, it's worth you pushing through those uncomfortable initial stages of conversations?
It's worth it, but I understand your hesitation. Because again, the backstory is I've been burned. I trusted somebody. I confided in someone and they turned it into a church-wide prayer. my name was everywhere, you know, and so I'm not going to step back into that again because fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But really, I've got it broken into what I say is time develops trust. Trust creates relationship. Relationship opens the door to discipleship. A lot of guys, you can't connect meeting the first Saturday of every month for an hour and expect a relationship to form. I mean, warfighters in the U.S. military fight together every day for 9 to 11 months straight. And when they're outside the wire fighting, it's just them. It's the four guys in this Humvee. And it doesn't matter what's happening at home or at headquarters or anywhere. They are fighting for each other and the mission. And so what I would say as a point of encouragement for the guys that are listening, don't rush the fruit. If you don't trust anybody, you never will until you spend time with them. So what I would advocate that you do is whatever it is that you like to do, whether it's going to play golf, going fishing, going surfing, whatever you enjoy doing, go continue to do that, but take somebody with you, because what will ultimately happen is the conversation will go, you know, how about them Maroons at Origin, to, I think my wife is about ready to kick me out of the house and I don't know what to do. Yeah. Or I have a teenage daughter who did not come home last night and I'm devastated. Those are the times when at 2 o'clock in the morning, we need another man to call. We can't use our wives as our emotional dumping ground, because we've got to be the leader spiritually in the home. So we have to have a proper outlet, but you're not going to inherently just, you know, say, hey, go trust somebody, because that doesn't work on me, because I don't, until I spend time with you. And the more time I spend, the deeper the relationship.
Yeah.
But you have to make the first move.
Yeah.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. Be intentional. David, we started by saying, you know, we heard a bit of your story at the beginning of the show, and part of that was that you were here in Australia last year for your son's graduation. You said you come to Australia fairly regularly. For the guys listening right now who might be all around the country, I know that you've got stuff planned. Can they just go to your website and keep an eye on where you're going to be later in the year if they want to come and see you?
Certainly. It's in such a state of flux because the schedule's constantly changing, because I'm communicating. This is my time. It's evening here, but this is the time that I actually talk to guys in Australia. But I do know on the 20th of May, I will be at the New South Wales Parliament Theatreette speaking at a men's event. I know in the first weekend in July, I will be up near Bribie Island, Brisbane in Queensland, doing a men's retreat, and possibly something in Taree, New South Wales, either in May or July. So everything is kind of in a state of flux. Our goal is to be in Australia twice. May is kind of a bonus month. Our goal long-term, what we call at Rough Cut Men, Operation Australia. Now we're calling it Op Oz because it's easier to say. Our goal with Op Oz is to be in Australia wherever anybody needs us in both June/July and then again in November. So basically what we're doing is we're hitting you in the autumn and again in the spring, which is in most cases when we get guys together. So there's lots of opportunity. Just because it's not on the schedule doesn't mean if you're in Brisbane or you're in Townsville or you're in Bundaberg or wherever you happen to be, if you want to do a men's event, contact us through the website and I will figure out how to work you in July, November, or May. We're going to be trying to do this annually. That's our mission.
Awesome.
To do it once a year.
Well, again, we'll keep you updated as best we can here at Momentum, but keep an eye on the website, roughcutmen.org. That's roughcutmen.org. And, you know, we've been chatting with David Dusek from Rough Cut Men. David, we also really at the end there pushed the fact that we men need other men. And we're going to really delve into that in next week's show and really flesh that out a lot. So I'd love you guys to hang around next week. We're going to have David back and talk about that next week. In the meantime, check out the website, roughcutmen.org. And of course, the momentumaustralia.org website too. You can find out a bit more about what we do here locally. And David, it's been a great conversation. Really appreciate you sharing transparently, honestly, and looking forward to more of that next week, man. In the meantime, you take care.
I'm so excited. We're hooked up.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to momentumaustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at momentumaustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.